From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. A Canadian Pacific Railway train filled with iron ore pellets from the Iron Range derailed in two harbors early Thursday afternoon, and two injuries were reported. The two CN employees were transported from the scene via ambulance. Patrick Waldron, a spokesman for CN, said the injuries appear to be minor. The two other employees on the train were uninjured. The accident occurred at 1:14 p.m. in the afternoon on a bend in the tracks between North Shore Manufacturing and Two Harbors Lumber on 4th Avenue. Waldron said the area is considered the CN train yard. Yui Kausch, a sales manager at North Shore Manufacturing, said the rail cars were everywhere, quote, stacked up like cordwood, with some pointing up vertically. A typical ore train has just over 100 cars, and Kausch said it looked like most of them were affected by the derailment. Waldron said there were 107 cars, but said it hadn't been determined how many were damaged or upended. A CN crew was on the scene investigating the derailment, as was the Federal Railroad Administration. Regulators Friday released a long-awaited environmental review for the proposed PolyMet copper-nickel mine in northeastern Minnesota. The Department of Natural Resources officials said the document has grown to 2,200 pages, and it's just a draft. The release starts a public comment period to give people on all sides a chance to weigh in before the document is finalized. PolyMet CEO John Cherry says he's confident the review will show the company can run the mine and processing plant without harming the environment. But environmentalists point out that regulators have said PolyMet's wastewater may require treatment for up to 500 years, costing billions of dollars. The hospital has worked out an agreement with Blue Cross to continue their payment schedule, and the hospital board is revisiting its final levy proposal. Earlier this week, I spoke with Cook County North Shore Hospital and Care Center Administrator Kimber Ralstead. Let's talk about the ongoing and apparently, at least for the time being, somewhat settled situation with Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and the hospital.
Yeah, well, as of yesterday, I have a signed memorandum of understanding or letter of agreement with Blue Cross for 2014. And so we will continue to be a in-network provider for Blue Cross Blue Shield subscribers. And we also, Blue Cross and I, agreed that we are going to continue our discussions for 2015 with the plan or hope to have negotiations complete by July.
So this means that if I, for example, go to the clinic and the clinic recommends that I get some tests done, or the doctor at the clinic recommends I get some tests done, I take them to the hospital. Now I know they are going to be, how are they covered, and how does that make a difference to me now?
It's the same. If you're Blue Cross, it would be an in-network provider. So the same way, you just come in, you give us your card, and they are... it'll go through, and it's an in-network. You don't get any penalties or anything like that.
And as you said, you're working to further this beyond this coming year to 2015 as well?
Yes.
Is this a deal you and Blue Cross have constructed, or are some other critical care hospitals involved?
Every hospital or critical access hospital that I'm aware of, we're all having these individual discussions. We're not able to do them jointly. That is a concern to Blue Cross, that, restraint of trade and collusion, things like that. So we haven't talked to each other. I do not know what other organizations have done because we can't talk about it. I heard actually from a Blue Cross meeting that several are starting to sign contracts the same way we are.
Good. So, in other words, I suppose what price collusion and that kind of stuff is what's keeping that from the case. But we do know other organizations are dealing with the same situation.
Yes.
And they may come up with different solutions.
Yes.
Okay. Now, all of this leads me to ask the question, how do you set a budget if you don't know what it's going to cost, and how did that play into Truth and Taxation?
Well, and just kind of the discussion, I know that the county had their Truth and Taxation meetings on Tuesday evening. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were several conversations and questions about this special taxing district, which is, several things, but the majority is the hospital. And Back in August, when we have to set that preliminary levy, you know, as you know, we were having that whole conversation with Blue Cross,
right,
and knew that, okay, we have a potential to have a reduction in what we get paid by at least $300,000. On top of which, Medicare, which is, you know, what many people up here have, that's our actually biggest payer, because of the whole budget issues and all that, the budget sequestration, we've been experiencing a 2% reduction to our payments since April. So we, you know, trying to look at the revenues and that kind of piece. So, you know, it was an estimate. We're just trying to guess at that point in time. And so that's why the board set the, you know, potential levy at 1.5. We're still working on the budget. We've got, obviously, as of yesterday, more information, so to try to put in there. And are still working on it with the hopes to obviously not have it at 1.5 and to maintain it where it's at, if at all possible.
And it is at what level?
Right now it's $800,000.
Okay, well, that's a substantial difference. So yeah, the sequestration thing, so it's just not that we all understand, those of us who receive any kind of confirmations of payment and this sort of thing, either from hospitals or Medicare processing centers, all know that it takes time. We all know that Medicare is not speedy, but sequestration is not a matter of time. It's a matter of actual cuts, right?
Yes, correct. It's an actual cut. In past, if they said, we're paying you $100 for that service, they're now paying us $98.
Okay.
And so that was an automatic. So, you know, we incorporated that. On top of, you know, always trying to guess volume, because we're paid based on volume. It's not just, every day we get X amount of dollars.
No.
It's that we, you know, it depends upon if people come in and need services, et cetera. And then at the same time, trying to figure out what the expenses are or going to be and the increase in expenses, and then the various mandated requirements. A lot of the electronic record stuff that we're doing now is mandated. And so we kind of walk through that process and just try to you know, make the best guess, you know, but that's budgeting, is your best estimate.
Sure.
Or best guess, and try to do that. But it's really hard to do that back in August, you know, when you have so many things outstanding and just don't know what's going to happen. But the goal, and you also know that you can't increase it. You can't say, well, we'll just have a dollar, and then if we need to increase it to $3, we'll do that, you know. So
yeah, that's one of the foibles of the way the system works, is you can set a budget that you can then, in the future, lower between now and the end of the year, but you can't make it higher. So
correct,
it always starts out looking bad.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.